podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Coach Unplugged. I am so happy that you decided to join us. If you like this podcast, you should go over and listen to a bunch of the other ones in our network, with like the 5-Minute Basketball Coaching Podcast, or High School Hoops, or Coaching Youth Hoops. All of those are, I think, interesting. And we would love if you left a 5-star review. You can leave those 1-star reviews at home. But before we jump into the topic today, I'd like to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish. Mention Coach Unplugged and you'll get $450 off. You'll get great customer service. It is, I can tell you from someone that's still coaching, it has helped my team immensely. I can't tell you number of shots that we have taken on our Dr. Dish machines. And then also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. You know, 25 years ago, when I took over a program that no one wanted, that had 5 winning seasons in 35 years, I was the only applicant. No one wanted it. I would have killed for a resource like teachhoops.com. It took me years to turn it into a national powerhouse. And I have put all that secret sauce inside of teachhoops.com. So come over and check it out. 14-day free trial. It will give you the roadmap. It will give you me. It will give you one-on-one calls and office hours and a community of like-minded coaches. I think you'll love it. Let's head off to the podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I want my kids to be able to execute without having to think about what they're going to do. And that goes by the drills we do. Because I like to start our offense. We don't necessarily call plays. I like to start our offense based on where the first pass goes. Now, people say you can't. Well, we do. You work on it enough. Therefore, it makes scouting a whole lot harder for people to really see how you're getting into your sets. Because, you know, the biggest problem on offense is so many teams cannot get the first penetrating pass to get into an offense.
Right.
And you've got to do that before you can really do anything successful. And it's all based on how you practice to get do that stuff. From that.
Yep. I agree. I agree. Can you tell me one moment in your coaching career that we could like kind of unpack for a young coach? Something that you learned, something that happened? Give me anything. Is there a moment? Is there a game? Is there a situation that we could talk about that might help some young coaches that are listening to this?
Yeah, the one of the things that is never underestimate what your kids can do. Okay, and the reason I say that, if you got you going into the year and you look and you say, man, I don't really have those studs this year. I mean, where am I going to get this? When you evaluate your team, if you take that team and work it just as hard, if you work any team, they're going to win some games they're not supposed to.
Right.
Then the next year, you got a bunch of, you know, really good players, not the really thoroughbreds, and you do the same thing. You work them the same intensity, the same thing. But then they're going to win a lot of games and maybe sneak in and upset some. But then
right.
when you get the horses, you do the same thing, same work at, and that's when you win the championships. Because, you know, you got to have the players. I know, you know, you've never seen a mule win the Kentucky Derby.
Nope.
I mean, you're going to have some. But you can take that one that's maybe a step slow or 2 inches short, and you work them and give them the confidence. To achieve that. And the reason I say that, to say this, we won a state championship where it was in the third overtime, and a young lady, matter of fact, she's now the coach at West Florida, and she'll remember this, she was to hear that we lost a ball game because she didn't take the shot that she at the end of the game. Well, we talked about that, and then coming down to the state championship game, it was about, I guess it was 3 seconds. She came wide open, broke, and she never hesitated.
Right.
And she took that shot and nailed it because we got back, we pointed out what her, the main thing is. You got to determine what each player's best thing they can do. And then you got to focus on that.
Yes.
And that will help you win key ball games.
It will be. And the kids want to – so here's from me, the coach 30 years and taught for 30 years. Kids might not be happy with their role, but they want to know where they fit in the world. They really do.
Exactly.
They want to know that – they want to know. They want discipline. They want to know their role. They might not. It might be 5 years after they graduate is when they'll truly appreciate it. But they want it. They do. And if you tell them that, then things are going to be better. And I'm telling you, the year I don't think we're going to win a state championship, I'm done coaching. I've told my wife that. When I don't care who shows up on the first day of practice. But the day that I don't think we're good enough to do that, then I'm done. Because I want that expectation for their kids and, you know, that bar set. And that's what you were saying, Coach. It's like I think you have to, you know, you got to coach them up. Coach your kids up.
Man. You got to coach them up, and they got to know what you expect them to do. And when it comes time to do that, if they're the one that's supposed to take the shot,
right,
they take it. And
yeah.
I tell my kids, I don't get on to them about missing a shot. I get on to them about passing up stuff are things that they know they're not capable of doing. And that's the job of teaching these kids. And you're right. The girls want to be coached. Girls want to be coached. They want to be disciplined because so many of them, James, when I was coaching in college, you'd get this letter from a coach or things, so, oh, this girl's great. She can do all this. She can do all that. And you go watch them and say, oh, man, I just wasted some time. So that's one thing I'd pass on to any. You don't ever tell a college coach a kid can do something. But you teach them to expect what they can do, and then they go out and do it. I mean,
right,
then they'll win that big game for you somewhere down the line. But it's a constant every day part. It's not just, you know, well, I got that and over, now I'm going to rest. Well, you can't do it. You've got to go. I'm still old-fashioned. I give each one of my kids a handwritten, not a typed-out fancy one, just a handwritten where I draw the plays myself so they have to figure out the X's and O's and know all that. Scouting report about anybody and everybody we play. So that gives them confidence in what their job is so they can learn what they need to do to be successful themselves. So if each one of them are successful themselves, then you put all five of them together and them knowing what they're going to do, then you win the ball games you may not supposed to win.
Right.
From there.
Do you have any superstitions, Coach?
Have any superstitions?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I usually wear the same tie. Most of the time if we're on straight back, we won at Morrow High when I was there. We won 86 straight games in the state of Georgia. During that streak, we pretty much did the things. You know, not that it's going to do any difference. It's just, you know, if they believe it, then, hey, that's a
ride
plus
it,
for
baby.
You.
Ride it, yes.
So you ride it out.
But, you do. I ate 23 number fives at McDonald's 1 year because we weren't losing. And it's like, well, I got to keep eating. I didn't really want the 23rd one, but it's like, you got to just keep eating. It's like,
you got to keep eating. You got to keep doing, because once you get them to believe in what you're doing,
right,
that's half the battle.
Right. It is.
The thing about it, I tell them this may not make sense, but I tell my kid, way we do it, it may be entirely different than the way somebody else does it. But if we all believe it and we all do it the way we're preparing to do it, then it's going to work.
Right.
So
we can pull
anything. And I will say this, you know, everybody, you know, most man-to-man people, and I'm a man-to-man, go out. If you're on the right side of the floor, you want your left foot up, your back, right foot back, and cut off the baseline like that. So maybe you're two steps slow. So maybe they got a player, this girl's got a guard. In practice, we change it around. I say, okay, I want you to turn the other way. I want your right foot down, and I want you to funnel her back to the middle so I can give you some help, and we can trap her right there.
Right.
But all that's different. I mean, those are things you have to change around to give that kid. I think we run a defense where my baseline forwards, I have their gluteus maximus turn to the baseline, which that's not taught, but we do a lot of trapping out of that
right.
as well.
I think the golden nugget that you've stated, Coach, that's the key for people listening to this is you got to accentuate the positive and hide the negatives. Is basically that's the way I've coached. It's like this kid's a really good 3-point shooter, but can't guard a car standing still, kind of thing. It's like, then how can we get them so they get their threes, but then that they can defend? So that's the key to coach. I mean, high school coaching is a lot about matchups. So you got to accentuate mm-hmm. the positive and hide the negatives, because they all got
– Exactly.
They're not NBA. Most of them aren't NBA players, so they're going to have some strengths and they're going to have probably more weaknesses. So how do we hide the weaknesses and show the strengths?
That's exactly right. Not all of them are 6'4". Your
right.
post may be 5'6".
Right. Yeah.
I mean –
And the thing is, we're going to work on the negatives. We're going to work on the things they're not good at, but we're going to try to hide them until they get better at them is kind of the thing.
I agree. And the more that you do it year in and year out the same way, it gets better. And I'll say this, what you tell kids and what you preach, they will come back later, and you don't know what effect you're having on these kids 8 or 10 years down the road. Once they've been out.
Yeah.
But I will tell you what, for coaches, they will remember what you do. We had, my school where I was at, they surprised me with a celebration of 50 years of coaching. Okay. And with that, there was about 80, 85, maybe 100 of my former athletes was there, girls. And some of the comments they made, one of them made a comment up that, the one thing she remembers was that you'd be on time because I didn't start her and didn't play her because she was late to a big meeting.
Yep.
But anyhow, she says, she's in charge of a group of men and the company she works for. And she says, that's one thing they know. You're on time. You're not late.
We were playing one of the best teams in our league this year. And my starting point guard was late and he didn't start. And it might've cost us the game, but I don't care. This is bigger than the game. And I think something for the coaches that are listening too, it's not always what you say. It's kind of how you make them feel too. Over the length of the thing, they're not going to remember that 3-sentence thing you said to them, but they're going to they're going to remember how you make them feel over those 2 years.
Exactly right. One of the things that you're talking about, something that they can take with them. A lot of parents have asked me, well, when my daughter makes a mistake, why do you take her out of the game right then? And I said, well, it's put it this way. If it's a mistake that's really going to hurt her chance or our team to be successful, she's got to come out, and I've got to correct that.
Right.
And let her sit down, think about it, and then I'm going to put her back in. But it says, they only get to make one mistake. I said, well, you think about this. If I wait till the game is over, whether we won or lost, and I go into the dressing room and say, hey, okay, we need to correct it. She's not even going to know what I'm talking about at that point. She's forgotten about that. So, well, it kind of hurts. And I said, well, it's not hurting your feelings. It's making her better from that. And that's one of the things.
Right.
And
one mistake can be life-changing. Is what I tell parents is one mistake can be life-changing. If you go to a bar and you have 6 drinks and you get in the car and then you kill somebody, that was a mistake. It was only one, but it was a pretty big one.
Exactly right.
So
exactly right.
One mistake, and I said I'm not going to punish them. I'm not going to stick them in the end of the bench. But same in my math class. If they make a mistake on the board, it's like I'm not going to ignore it till the end of the period. I'm going to fix
exactly.
it. And I'm going to explain why it's wrong, and then we'll go on to the next problem. That's parents.
Well, I tell you something else too, that a lot of coaches have a big long list of rules.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have 6 or 7, maybe 8 rules. And and I have it typed up, it's in their playbook. Because they know if that rule is broken, then they gotta pay for whatever the penalty says.
Yep.
But because if you got a rule and you don't enforce it, then you're defeating the purpose for having a rule, and they're going to say, well, we're not, he's not going to even think twice about that. We'll go ahead and do it anyhow.
Right.
So be very cautious about the rules you put in, because if they break them, you got to enforce them.
Yeah, they do.
From there.
And being on time is just a big one of mine. It is a huge one of mine.
That's right.
It is.
And that's if a kid is on time, I mean, you tell them to be there and they're not on the bus, when that time comes, you close the door and you drive off.
Yep.
I mean, it don't take but once to happen, but you better be ready. It may cost you something, but hey, it'll be win for you in the long run.
And the thing is, it might cost the team and it might cost the game, but it's gonna pay off for that kid in the long haul. I'm telling you.
I agree.
Yeah, it really
I agree.
Is. So what's your biggest change other than the 3-on-3 that you've seen in the last 50 years, you think, to the game?
The biggest change is I tell a lot of folks, girls that work at it, the biggest change is the ability to shoot a basketball if they work on it. Because I think what most basketball players, as far as their athletic ability, and they are getting bigger, stronger, and faster as well.
Right.
And now the girls are dunking. We had the pleasure of having one of the best girls, women in the professional league, and that's Maya Moore. She went to some of the camps we had. The attitude that she approaches with. Now, that in itself, the ability to do that, but the biggest change is how competitive the game and the girls' game has gotten when we've gone 5-on-5. And the great spectators that we have, if you go to the women's Final Four compared to what it used to be.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It's come a very, very enjoyable game. I can remember, and when it's 3-on-3 and Rover and all that, they just wasn't that much support.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Far as
the game, I think the WNBA helped with that a lot. I do. I think
I agree.
TV, the Final Four. I think UConn's helped. I know people don't love dynasties, but it's helped put it on. I mean, people are watching, you know.
Well, I say this about that. Everybody, some of them don't like Geno and all that, and they say it's not good for college basketball. That what I tell them, you need to get out there and you need to coach. And if you really want to see why they win, go watch one of his practices.
Yeah.
Just go watch one and go watch – you know, I had the pleasure of watching, Andy Slanners and I had Pat Summit and all of those people. Go watch one of their practices.
Yeah.
I'd love to take my players and let them see a big-time college basketball program and see how intense the coaches get in their face and this stuff like that. Not that I'm saying that's what you got to do, but they can see that the seriousness of how to practice and prepare to win.
Right,
and you come back. That's how you win. Your practices are where you win the basketball game. And practices should be about twice as hard as the game ever thought about being.
Yep, and it's what people don't see. That's the thing. It's behind those closed doors. All right, so we're gonna close up with what I call rapid fire, Coach. I'm gonna ask you a question. And you're gonna give me one answer. Okay.
Okay.
So, what's one word to describe your ideal player?
Coachable.
Okay. What's your favorite basketball? Like the basketball you play with? What would be your brand, favorite basketball brand?
Well,
what's one sporting event? You go to one sporting event, what would you go to and why?
For women, it would be the women's Final Four. For men's game to go watch just for the physicality would be a hockey match.
What's your favorite pregame meal?
His favorite pregame meal to is pancakes.
Pancakes. No one has said pancakes. A lot of steaks. There's been a lot of steaks. What's one thing you do to relax?
Crossword puzzles.
Crossword puzzles. All right. Yep. Best basketball player you have seen in person?
As far as men, Michael Jordan. As far as women, I would say would be Maya Moore.
Okay. Best player of all time.
Who I like is best player of all time.
Yep.
What I've seen through the years in development was Taurasi.
Okay.
And the other one would be Larry Bird.
Ooh.
Men.
I like Larry Bird. I think he was underrated a little bit.
I think he is too.
One thing that helped you become a better coach.
Learning how to be more receptive to criticism and learning how to laugh at myself a little bit.
Okay. I like that. One word to describe your coaching style.
Demanding.
Okay. Best basketball coach of all time.
John Wooden.
One book you would recommend.
I Ain't Nothing But a Winner by Bear Bryant.
Ooh, I haven't read that one. I'm going to have to read that one. And then we did the last one. What was one thing you tell a young coach? One thing.
To be yourself and be the real deal. And when I say that, what you see is what you get. And don't try to be something you're not. Just be yourself.
And that's the easiest thing to be. It's the easiest thing to be, and you're not hiding anything.
Right. And that, and teach what you know.
Ooh, I like that. I love that. Okay. Thank you, Coach. I look forward to meeting you. I look forward to meeting you in about 6-7 weeks.
All right. We'll sit down and have a Coke and talk about some basketball.
All right.
Thank you.
We will do that. Thank you, Coach. Bye-bye.
See you. Bye.
Hey, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and like. Leave a review. We love those 5-star reviews. We're going to leave a 1-star. You can skip to the next podcast. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better.
Sports Social Podcast Network.